Up to Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Zayin. Perek and Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Zayin. Azovani Es Beisi Natashi Es Nachalosi. Hashem says, I have abandoned my home. I have forsaken my inheritance. It's interesting, in the art school they translate those words just the opposite. Ozavti means forsaken, Es Beisi Natashi Es Nachalosi. I have abandoned. I don't know the difference between those two words. But both of them don't sound too good. Either way, no matter how you express it, es nachalosi, nasati es yididus nafshi, forsaken and abandoned. Ozavti. Ozav, interchangeable. They're two different words which seemingly mean almost the same thing. It has to be a difference, of course. But okay, two different expressions. Nasati es yididus nafshi bekaf oyver. I have delivered the beloved of my neshama. Hashem says, it's a beautiful expression. Klal Yisrael is called here Yididus Nafshi, Hashem's beloved. Bekaf Oyvecha, in the hand of Oyvecha, our enemies, like we mentioned last week. I just thought it was a very powerful idea of Yidid. Yidid is, here it's a different form, Yididus. But Yidid is Yad Yad, two hands, the right hand, the left hand, meaning in the good times and in the bad times. You're always by the person's side. Whether you're at his right side and you're at his left side. In the good days, when things are going to his right, you're there. And in the bad days, when a person is turning to his left, when things are not going so good, you are there. Hashem says, I'm always there for Klal Yisrael. They are the Yedidus Nafshi. I have delivered to the Kafa Yidecha. Listen, next purpose. My inheritance has become to me like a lion in the yard. Now we'll see what that means in a moment, in the forest. Nos no lai b'koyla. They raised their voice. They became, in other words, they became my enemy. They've raised their voice against me. Al kein therefore sinesia. I hate them. Hashem says, very powerful expression, I hate my nation. It's like you're working the zoo, and you tame a lion, and then the lion rebels against you. You spend many years training and befriending the lion, and then the lion starts roaring at you. We mentioned yesterday the theme, the more you put into something, when that thing rebels against you, the more hatred it evokes. Hashem invested in us in great intensity. Hashem here calls us the Yididus Nafshi. And therefore, when we rebel against Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem's response is not just, he gets very angry because Zelu Mazeh, the more love you put into something, when that object of love is not faithful, that causes a response of to the extreme of hatred. Let's take a look at these two psukim together. Pasuk Zayin says, Oh, Zafti, Lochain, Zafti, Space, Base Hamigdash. I've abandoned the Base Hamigdash. Nachalosi, Heim Yisrael, Kamosha, Kosov, Yaakov, Chavon, Nachaloso. He is the robe of Nachaloso. Es Yididus Nafshi, the beloved of my Neshama, Es Yisrael. I've abandoned Yisrael, Es Yisrael, Lushoyu, Oyavim, Lufonai, Lushoyu, Ahuvim, Lufonai. I have delivered my beloved nation to the enemy, and here it's just poetic repetition. Klal Yisrael has become like a lion in a forest. A lion in the zoo is not very exciting because it's trapped. And that's why today there's such a backlash. You know, everyone has rights today. Even the animals have rights. So if you lock up an animal in a zoo, maybe they're right. It's tzar bali chayim. So the animal is not a good one. It's not going to express itself. It's not going to roar. When the animal is free to roam in the forest, it roars with an intensity. It's an expression of might and gaiva and confidence. Ka'ari Yisrael, Klal Yisrael has rebelled against Kadosh Baruch Hu. They're like a lion in the forest. Adas Yisrael, the assembly Yisrael, Hayu Lufanai Ka'ari Biyar HaToref Kol Basar, who devours all flesh. He has different idea than Mitzudas. Coming to destroy, they are violent people. Ki Kein Hema Tarfim Uma'abdim Zeh Ezeh. They eat up one another. They eat up one another. This is a very frightening comparison. Over here in the art scroll, Yirmiyah, he quotes from Rav Breuer. They quote quite often from Rav Breuer. I think this was Rav Breuer from Frankfurt, the predecessor of before they came to America in Washington Heights. So he says, he gives a mashal. Not from Rav Broy. I made a mistake. I'm sorry. This is from the Malbim. The Malbim says that if a person trains a lion, if you have a wild animal, and you take it into your home and you train it, so over time, the wild animal can be trained to be tame. But what happens if you take the wild animal out back to the forest, to where it came from, its natural habitat? So suddenly, the memories of the good old days, of when it was out in the wild and it was free to roam and do as it pleases, comes back to the animal, and suddenly 20 years of training the animal goes out the window. When the animal was locked up behind gates, then the animal over time, over 20 years, it developed a new personality, a new derech, a new way. But you can lose the entire training of 20 years when you take the animal back out into the forest and it recalls how it lived a life of hefkeros, of freedom, in one moment. So the Malbim says, the mashal here is that Klal Yisrael, we were once an untamed and undisciplined nation before we went to Mitzrayim, before we experienced the Kor Har Barzel, we were free. I mean, there were 70 souls. I mean, I don't know what exactly that means exactly, but it was not in our DNA, the concept of discipline. We went to Mitzrayim for 210 years. We experienced 86 of those years were years of hardship, of torture. And Chazal say, the torture we experienced refined the midos of Klal Yisrael, the Kor Har Barzel. That experience, we don't understand the depth of this means, it somehow changed our makeup, our DNA. We became different people. It put into us a new midah of discipline, of Musar. But then, after we left Mitzrayim, and we went back into Eretz Yisrael, into a land of freedom, the 210 years of training of Mitzrayim all went out the window. When we were in Mitzrayim, it was like a lion that was locked up in a zoo. When we came into Eretz Yisrael, it's like the lion was let loose in the forest. And it recalled from memory the freedom that it experienced in its younger years, and the discipline that was invested in this creature has all been lost. That's how the Malbim explains the significance of the Aryeh Vayyar. Okay, next words of the Mesudos. Nosno Olai, Midbaros Lemuli, Bekol Ram, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has put against me Midabros Lemuli, Bekol Ram, Uveramos Ruach, and Nosno Olai is that the lion had raised up its voice against me with chutzpah against me. Okay, Rashi Pasuk Vav says, Yididus Nafshi, Am Sigulasi, my nation, Nosno Olai Bekoli, also Lefonai Tzakas Chasomeho, it rises before me the sound of violence. All of the crimes that are committed in Eretz Yisrael, these sounds come before me, and Hashem is going to say there's only that much I can take. Let's see the Radak. Radak plus Zayin begins with the words. I have to find it over here in this edition. Oh, Zavt Yisbeisi. Amar Akel Kadum Hanoyim Al Avedasai. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is the speaker. And Hashem says that Hashem is coming to complain, just like a person who has something valuable and it gets lost. Likewise, Hashem is expressing his frustration. Esbeisi ze beis hamikdash nachalosi ze Yisrael kmo she'amar Yaakov chevel nachalosai is the rope of his inheritance. Yididus nafshi ahavtiha ahava aza. Hashem says about Klal Yisrael, I had for them an intense love. The ata now ba avanoi secha nisatia bikaf oiveha. I have delivered her to in the hands of her enemies. Pasaches hoisa ke aryeh vayar kishe shoye ko aryeh vayar v'noisim kolo v'yishmuha oivrim v'shav makol. When a lion roars and people who are passing in its vicinity hear its sound, Ya'azvu derech hayar oy hasamuch lo. They're frightened and they abandon the road. They run away. Cain so too. Ozavti ani es nachalosi. when this creature, Klal Yisrael, raises its voice and roars, and it's Hashem says, I'm going to abandon my inheritance, it's to me, I'm like the Aryeh, because Klal Yisrael was to me like a lion that roars in the middle of the night. When the Sinas Koyla Rishagasa, the raising forth of the voice and its sounds, Hitzakas Ha Ashukim Mipnei HaChamas. Exactly what Rashi says, it's the sound of the victims. The victims raise their voice in tsar, in frustration, and this sound comes before me, so says Hashem, and that is why I am out of here, I'm leaving. Or alternatively, it means the sound of worshipping of idols that I hear in their churches. Another pasuk, Vayikru b'kol gadol. So we don't understand exactly what this means, but somehow it was part of the service of worshipping idols to scream and to raise your voice, to raise your voice. To start working with the sound? What? So maybe sit closer. Why do you want to sit? Make it louder. Okay. Al kein sinesia, therefore I have hated her. Unitashtia ki nil'esi niso od ma'aseha haro'im. Hashem says, I hate her. It's too much for me to carry the load. Okay, so these two psukim are pretty straightforward. Now we go into the next pasuk test. Pasuk test says, "Ha'ayit tzavua nachalasi li." Okay, this is a complex pasuk. Pasuk says that Klal Yisrael is an ayit. Ayit is a bird. It's a certain type of bird that is tzavua. Now, one here doesn't mean tzavua. So simply means it's stained in blood. When a bird is stained in blood, and we're going to see different interpretations, but let's just run through them outside before we see them inside. When a bird is stained in blood, that is a sign for other birds to devour it. Either other birds believe that it's dead, if they see that there's blood, they assume the blood is because it was killed. It was killed through an accident or another creature killed it. And now it's food, so they come running to consume the flesh of this dead bird, or a vulture. Other birds, but the bird, Hashem over here, this pasuk is describing what is going to happen to Klal Yisrael. I'm going to make them like an ayat, that is savua, means stained in blood, which is a calling sign. It's like a magnet. If a bird is stained in blood, that's a magnet for all the other birds in the sky to descend and devour the carcass. It's a sign of weakness. Not a sign of death. It's a sign that the bird is dead. It's assumed that if they see there's blood on its wings, the bird is dead. It's been killed in battle, in war, or through an accident. And now it's a signal for all the birds in the sky to descend and have lunch. Devour the flesh of the dead bird. This is the reality, the Metzias. So Hashem says, I am going to make you, Klal Yisrael, like an ayit tzavua, which will attract all of the nations of the world to descend upon Yerushalayim and consume, devour you. Consume you, eat up, kill you, and take all of your wealth and your spoils and completely destroy you. Ha'ayit tzavua nachalosi li. You, Klal Yisrael, you are like a bird that is stained in blood. Therefore, what happens? Ha'ayit saviv aleha. The other ayit over here is a collective noun. It refers to all of the other birds in the sky. When one of their own is killed, so why waste good meat? We might as well have lunch. So all of the other birds in the sky, they surround it. And in fact, they speak to each other. They communicate with one another and they say, come, lunch is being served. Lechu kam, istu gather, kol chayas asadeh, heisoyu. Heisoyu means come. You have this word every so often. Hey, so you come la'achla, come for dinner, come for lunch. We have a meal. Let's see this in much more detail in pasuk test in the mitzugos. Now, this is a little bit different. This interpretation is a little bit different than what I told you. I think what I told you is more from the Radak. Let's go one moment at a time. Hashem is asking a question. Are my people like an ayat that is savua? Savua means multicolored. A totally different interpretation.
The word used here is speckled.
Speckled, okay. Savua means to be dyed. Dyed, okay. But here it means it's a multi-speckled or multicolored bird. A multicolored bird is hated by the other birds. Why? I guess jealousy. Hasnua l'chol ha'ifais. They are jealous of its exquisite beauty. Colors among the creatures represents beauty.
Usually, birds of prey are not known for their beauty, but they can be hated just for being a bird of prey.
Okay, that's a different idea, but we hear according to the Mitzudos, the Ayat Savua means a certain category of birds which are multicolored. That's what it says in the Mitzudos. Gavonim harbe, al balas gavonim, and these birds, this is the Mitzias, they are hated by their companions. Why are they hated? So simply it's because of jealousy. When someone else has something that you do not have, there is a tendency to be jealous, yeah? The kesoin is passim. Very good. The kesoin is passim in Echnami. By human beings, we have a mitzvah, one of the Ten Commandments. Loi sachmeid. I always recall, every time you have the aseres hadibros, I always remember the story I read in one of the books from Rabbi, the rabbi from Atlanta, Georgia. Rabbi Feldman. So he's a brilliant Manuel Feldman. He wrote many, many books, many articles, prolific. And one of the stories, he always says that now he built there a community that's aim the ear be Israel. But in the olden days, when he started, they would barely Shomer Shabbos. So he writes some of the funny stories about how he started out. They weren't Shomer Shabbos. These people were just borderline people. They knew from nothing. And every time you would tell them, Shabbos is serious. It's part of Judaism. You have to keep Shabbos. It's one of the Ten Commandments. Believe it or not, you say the Ten Commandments, they take it more seriously. And they always, the end of all of the articles in that particular book that I'm thinking about is, they would conclude, Rabbi, are you sure? Are you sure? Shabbos, lo sirtzach. Right? Are you sure? Well, it's funny, it's really funny. Lo sachmoid is something that we all struggle with. It's something that we all struggle with. And I, the average person doesn't realize, guess what? Lo sachmoid is one of the Ten Commandments. It's one of the Ten Commandments. Don't be jealous of your friends. So you're saying very good that Yosef, they were kind of good at the Ksenas Pasim. And here we have the bird, the Ayat Savua, which means a multicolored bird, which evoked the jealousy of the fellow birds. And then they come to attack. So here, let's see what this is over here. Ha'ayat Savua, v'chi Yisrael, heimu l'fonayk Ayat Sa, Savua ba'alos kevonim, a Ayat that is many colors, ha'senua, that is heidu l'chol o'ifois, u'kevutza sa'ifois ha'dorsim, Hadarsim, and the birds, the predators, tachanes saviv olechol achla, they encamp around it to consume it. That's the nature. They're out to kill it. The oide sifu lazari zezem. Not only does each individual bird attempt on its own to assassinate this multicolored bird, they collaborate. They pool their resources, their talents, to succeed in eliminating the object of their jealousy. Lazares zezeh islu hachayos asher yavo gam himalachlam. Let them all gather so they can consume them. Kichein anshe nivuchanetzah sonim es Yisrael. So to the anshe nivuchanetzah. Here he's coming to explain over here the concept. The anshe nivuchanetzah sonim es Yisrael umzarzim elu leelu lechaloisam. Anshe nivuchanetzah, he would gather all of his associates, all of his other nations, the League of Nations. They would come together to attack Klal Yisrael. So here the pasuk according to the Mitzvah of David explains Klal Yisrael is called an ha'ayit tzavua, a special type of bird that's multicolored, that's hated. Nachalasi li, they're hated. And that is why now, ha'ayit, which means all of the other birds are going to come, savalech, going to come and surround it and to kill it. Not only that, they're going to all be mezaris, encourage one another. Let's see Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Tes says, ha'ayit savua, ha'hei tamua. Okay, similar to the Metzudas Tava, the hei is the hei hatamia. Question. Klal Yisrael, why have you become an object of scorn to the entire world?
It should say ha'ayit.
With a patach, with a komatz, ha'ayit, which will be a statement. The fact that it says it with a patach, ha'ayit, is an indication that it's a tamia. Why has this come to be? Why is it so? Lekach ha'hei ha'tamua, lekach hu nokut patach, hachi heim oif tzavua, Megul Badam. Okay, so notice here is where Rashi is coming to distance himself from the interpretation of the Mitzudos, that the Tzavua does not mean multicolored. It's not a natural beauty. It means that it's stained in blood. Shashar Oifos Nesaf Molov, and that's what I told you originally, is that when you have a bird that is stained in blood, that is an indication that it's dead. It's dead or it's wounded, it's weak, and therefore it's vulnerable to be prey for other birds. Dover acher, ha'ayit tzavua, oif echad shahu tzavua. There's a beautiful bird. There's a bird that is tzavua. V'chol oifos nesaf molov la'oichloi shesoynim oiso. This is the interpretation of the Mitzudos. It means there's a certain type of bird that has a term. It's a name called the ayit tzavua. And it's multicolored, it has beautiful qualities, it's an object of jealousy, and they all gather to kill it. Next, Rashi, ha'ayit sarva lecha, soma oif shama, I think it's soma oif shamayim heim, elu hachayolis, shema, Shmo, I think Ha'ayit Sarv Oleha Shama.
It's a question. Shema.
Shema? Oif HaShemayim Heim. Eilu HaChayolos. I don't think so. HaGedudim. HaKalim Asher Sivivecha. That's surrounded. I think it means Shama there. Oleha means over there. Oif HaShemayim Heim. Shmo Oif Shemayim Heim.
This is how we translate it here. Are these armies fowl of the heavens?
Shem oif shamayim heima elu hachayolos hagedudim hakalim. Okay, so it's, you have to really read the words backwards in the Rashi. Should it really be that all of these nations, Nebuchadnezzar and his associates, should they be compared to the birds of heaven that surround and attack the ayat zavua? Shema, should it be the oif hashamayim, part of the tamiya, the birds of heaven, heim elu, which are, who are these, like parenthetical statement, hachayolos hagedudim, the armed armies, hakalim, which are very swift, asher sivosecha, should it really be fair that they should come and attack my nation, the ayat zavua? He saw you, bow, the word he saw you means bow, they say one to another, come and let us attack them. Let's see the Radak. Radak pasik ches, pasik tes, ha'ayit. Okay, so we have two patachs. Shneem ha'hei b'patach, both heis, ha'ayit have a patach. Ki hi l'sheila, exactly like Rashi and the Mesudas, it means there's a question. Uperish Adoni avi zichron levrocha apostike, my father from the Salos. Ha'ayit savua b'dam chalolim yiyah sov al nachalosi. Ha'ayit savua b'dam chalolim. We have here this bird, and this is a different interpretation. He's eating more than what Rashi said. Rashi, let's take a step back. Rashi said this bird is dirty in blood. It's migu'ol badam. And that simply means, maybe I'm making a mistake, it means that it's been injured. It's been injured or it has been slain. Okay, it's been injured. Therefore, it's vulnerable. And that's why all of the other birds are coming now to attack and to eat it, because it's food. Radak is clear that's not the pshat, at least according to his father. Okay. Radak, maybe make it a little bit lower. It's too much of an echo.
Yeah. In the first Ben Absarim,
yeah. It's good, it's good now.
Birds of prey.
Birds of prey. Okay, that's what it's doing over here.
Yeah. What's saying? Yeah.
Okay, so over here, over here, he's doing the Radak's father was doing something a little bit. He's saying, okay, let's take a step back. And according to Rashi, according to this simple interpretation, this is how I saw it explained. Could be, I don't remember where in the article, somewhere else, is that a bird that is full of blood means the bird is either dead or it's severely wounded. Therefore, it's vulnerable. If it's vulnerable, it's an easy target. Everyone now gathers to either to finish off the job and to eat the dead carcass. The Radak says it's not the pshat. Ayat Sevua means the bird is healthy, it's strong. Adarab, the fact that it's stained in blood is an indication that it is a predator. It's a serial killer. That's what the bird is stained in blood. It means it's running from one location to the next location, assassinating other birds, killing them, and it's getting stained in the blood of its victims. When other birds see this, they see a blood that's full of blood, they say, this bird is a danger to society. It's not just a danger to society, it's a danger to us. Just like this bird has succeeded in eliminating many other birds, and the proof is in the pudding, because it itself is stained in blood, who knows, we may be next. So therefore, let us take a proactive approach. The Bush Doctrine. Anyone know what the Bush Doctrine is? Anyone remember that from the old days? The person who got punished for not knowing what the Bush Doctrine is? Palin was asked the question, what's the Bush Doctrine, by Katie Couric, and she didn't know the answer. And it's Bush Uchlima. What was the answer? The Bush is preemptive. Preemptive. The Bush Doctrine is you have to take the fight to the enemy. To be preemptive in your dealing with terrorism. Don't wait until you are attacked. You make the first move. Preemptive, you have to be proactive in your dealing with terrorism. So that's exactly what's going on over here according to the parish of the Mitzudos. You have a bird is stained in blood. Wow, bird is stained in blood, that means this bird is a rotseach. Why should we wait until this bird comes in our territory and attacks us? Let's be proactive and eliminate it in advance. This is the insulin for the blood on the bird is not a blood of weakness, of injury. It's a blood of victims, indication this is a violent bird. This is the interpretation of the father of the Radak. Let's see again inside. The bird that is stained in the blood of the chalalim, of its victims. Will be around Yisav al Nachalasi, Ayit Savua Nachalasi Li. No, you know what? I made a mistake. And I told you another interpretation, which I made a mistake. There are many interpretations. It could be these measures. The Radak is saying the same idea, but it means that, just the other way around, that Klal Yisrael is the Nachalasi, and the Ayit Savua means the violent bird is going to come attack my Nachala. That's what he says. I didn't realize he said it like that. The Ayat Savua, the violent bird that is a predator. And the proof that it's violent is the fact that it's stained with the blood of its victims will now be dispatched to Eretz Yisrael to attack Klal Yisrael for their sins. Ha'ayit Savua b'dam chalolim yiyeh shall be soviv al nachalasi shebacharti, which I have selected. The Omar v'achar sheyispa ha'ayit, after the ayit has been satisfied, yavo kol hachayos hasodeh le'echol, then all the wild animals will come and join, will take over the leftovers. That's the next pasuk. That's what it says for the Hu'itzvu kol chayas sadeh, the leftovers. Kama shenema Hu'itzvu kol chayas sadeh, he saw you lo'achlo, come and eat it. Omar lo, period. Omar lo oifos. The bird says, the one bird, the ayat savua, after it finishes doing its job, it says to the other birds, achash tispu atem Luchu, after you finish being satisfied from eating from the meat of Klal Yisrael, gather kol chayas asodeh ba'avur kain ki kain minak oifos yovei al hachalolim techila ki heim yiru be'oifafam, because they can see from the bird's eye view, literally they can see what's doing down there on the earth. K'mosh amar v'asher chalolim sham, who the place where the corpses are, that's where the birds are. V'hachayos ro so'ifos tzuvun midam hachalolim, and then when the animals see in the sky the birds are stained in blood, v'yosudu mimukoimam, then they realize, oh, there must be good food where these birds are coming from, and they also go in that direction. He saw you, he just translates the word means to come. Hahei temuras aleph, the hey is like osa. The word he saw you is the same as osa. He saw you. Ekha yain, I'll take wine. Shuvu he saw you. We see the word is used. It's vinyanu kamo bo. The hey and the hey are interchanged. Asya, osa, bosa, bo. V'achayus chen moshel al umos shoshabo in Nebuchadnezzar. It's a moshel for Nebuchadnezzar. Then v'achayu v'yushlam ki'ilu osu lohem ois v'herimu lohem neishiyavo. It's that Nebuchadnezzar, he raised up the banner. He sent out messages. He raised up a banner to indicate that the time has come to arrive. For moshel ha'ayit savu l'chayus. And it's that he is compared to the ayit savua. He's the ayit savua. L'chayus v'hu d'var ha'nevua. This d'var ha'nevua. So sach hakol, we have over here 3/4 interpretations of what it means. And I'll give you one more before we review. I want to give you one more. Is tzavua in rabbinic literature always means a faker? A tzavua, you are a faker. You paint yourself on the outside one color, but when you uncover the paint, you're entirely something different. You look like you're gold, but when you scrape away the gold surface, underneath is nothing more than earthenware. It's a concept of making believe you are someone who you are not. And here, Lavan. What?
The name Lavan.
It's white. Whitewash.
Yeah.
He whitewashed himself. He whitewashed himself. So this, the word Sabu is very popular in the Gemara, in the Farshim, is that the person who is not what he seems to be. It's not toichoi kabaro. The inside is not like the outside, it's a tzavua. So here, according to that interpretation, we have a homiletic pshat pasuk. Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, you know what you are? You are the ayat tzavua nachalosi li. You are a bunch of fakers. You're the ayat, you're like an ayat that has faked out the world. You make believe you're tzaddikim on the outside, but really on the inside you're fakers. And therefore, now it's up to you how to follow through on the translation. You don't have to even go further. You can just say it like that. Ayat zvu nachalos sili kam. It's all you need to say. It's an independent statement. Hashem is complaining that Klal Yisrael are fakers. They make believe they're tzaddikim. They fly in the sky high, and everything is all nice and good, but it's all smoke and mirrors. It's all a show. It's not the real thing. And therefore, our Chalal Tzlan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says, I have no choice but to call the nation of the world to gather against you and to bring Korban. So before we go to the next Pasuk, Sach HaKol, we have over here 3, 4, 5 interpretations. According to the Mitzudos, the Ayat Savua, it's a very important Pasuk because this term is used every so often. Klal Yisrael is the Ayat Savua. The Ayat Savua is a bird that is truly beautiful. It's a beautiful bird. Beautiful colors. Maybe it's a peacock. I don't know what it is. There are probably many translations of what it means to be. There are many beautiful birds. Ostrich. There's some beautiful birds. I used to work in feathers. I once had a little gig to help out someone in the feather business. And it's years ago. And it was fascinating to learn all about feathers. All different types of feathers. All different. And the price range is vast. You could buy turkey feathers for pennies, so you can buy. I'm bringing over here a whole stack of turkey feathers for nothing. But to buy one ostrich feather, it's like $3, something like that. Even one feather, because you know they're unique, they're beautiful. Whatever it is, it's a whole. What? They ride with turkey feathers. They ride with turkey feathers. That's a very big mystery, by the way. Why do they ride with feathers altogether? It says in the Gemara, you're supposed to with a konet, with a reed. There's no makar to write with a feather. This is a modern invention, a modern innovation to use feathers. The Gemara says he's supposed to use a konet, is a reed that grows along the sea bank. So maybe in Bavel they did have konet. So when did the change happen that we started using feathers? Okay, now you'll say use feathers, but turkey feathers. There's a whole shiloh, there's a very big shiloh if you even allowed to eat turkey. There are many Gedolei Yisrael that did not eat turkey. The Nomasar for turkey. So turkey is not even questionable. So when you're writing a Sefer Torah, you think you will be Mahader, and you should use at least a chicken feather. Obviously, they need a certain degree of stamina, some strength, and it should work. Turkey feathers work very well. And that became the tradition. Rabbi Cohn, I know he spoke here, I don't know what he spoke about, but remember when I was here when he spoke about this is a very big controversy, and the battle has been lost, is they now have plastic quills. What? There's an HL Barzel, there's metal pens. The Keses HaSefer explicitly says you can use metal. But no one does it says the Pharisee can use a metal pen to write a Sefer Torah as long as it's written Kalacha, use the right D.I. Then what became popular now in Eretz Yisrael is they've created these hard plastic pens, and they're pre-cut, and they're created with lasers by computer. You know, if you spend some time in Safras, part of this art of being a sofer is to be a mumche in cutting your own kulmus, and you have to. They wear out very quickly. After you write a couple of lines, I don't know all the details, but they get worn out. You have to keep on renewing them, and it's a sharpening it. No, sometimes you just have to do it again. Yeah, it's a whole chachma. I went to a course in Sakhfas, spent a lot of time learning how to make a kulmus. It takes a lot of practice, a lot of skill, and. So some people don't want to bother with this. So they make these really asur. So my brother showed me really good kulmus. They're pre-made. Are you allowed to do this? It's not traditional. So today it's common. It's commonly done. And Rabbi Cohn, he mentioned that many, some of the big poskim are very, very angry that Seferim are using this kulmus, this plastic kulmus. It's not traditional. And I don't know all the details. Somehow it was a mistake that it was accepted for. It was only accepted for a certain situation, and now became widespread in Eretz Yisrael that many seferim use this kulmus. So, okay, but that's not the point. The point we go is ayat savua. Let's go back a little bit. We have over here an ayat savua. We have over here the review of the interpretation. We're dealing over here with the first of mitzudos. Mm-hmm. It is a beautiful bird. The problem is when the beauty is not. Is flaunted. This week's Haftorah, Tatsnei Aleches Im Elokecha, the last words of this week's Haftorah, when beauty is flaunted, it's not used in the proper way, it can arouse the jealousy of others. So here we're comparing Klal Yisrael, they're in Ayat Savua, their beauty is being exposed in a way that's not proper, and therefore it has aroused the jealousy of the Umos HaOlam, and Hashem will allow the Umos HaOlam to descend and to destroy Klal Yisrael out of jealousy over the beauty that they have. That's really what the Mitzudo says. Then we have Rashi. All Rashi says is that the Ayat Savua is Savua in blood. It's stained in blood. And Rashi is subject to interpretation. Simply means the ayat is vulnerable. It's either dead or it's weak. And that's a calling sign for all the creatures of the sky and of the earth to come and have lunch. The Radak says that the ayat savua is not Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael in the pasuk is Nachalosi, is my inheritance. The ayat savua is Nevuchadnezzar. Nevuchadnezzar, he's a predator. He's going to come, his clothing is stained in blood. He's conquered many nations. He is going to come now and descend upon Nachalasi and destroy them. And he's going to encourage his friends, the Chayes HaSadeh, to also participate in this battle. Another fourth interpretation I told you was a variation of what it said in the Radak, and that is Klal Yisrael is considered to be the Megual B'dam, meaning that they're sinners. That being that Klal Yisrael, there is blood on their hands, they've committed crimes of Avodah Zarah, Gilei Shfich HaSdamim, specifically Shfich HaSdamim. The blood of Zechariah ben Yehoyada is on the hands of Klal Yisrael, is on, and therefore they're Megul B'dam. Therefore, Hashem says, I'm going to allow the other birds to attack and to eliminate, take a proactive approach, and to eliminate this predator. The fifth interpretation is an expression, Hashem is complaining, Klal Yisrael Yatzavua, you're fakers. The ayat is a very beautiful creature, but you have to be an ayat to be an ayat. If you're at Tzavua, then you don't deserve to be an ayat. Let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yud. Roim Rabim Shichasu Karmi. Karmi is always a mashal for Klal Yisrael. Kerem Hoya L'Shlomo. It's in the beginning of Yeshaya. In Yeshaya, we learn that Klal Yisrael is the Kerem Ha'uriah and Shem, that many shepherds have destroyed my vineyard. Who are the shepherds? The shepherds are the Umois Ha'olam. They are the shepherds. Boisisu es chelkasi, they have trampled my inheritance. Nosnu es chelkas chemdosi limidbar shimama, they have transformed. They have transformed my inheritance into my chemdosi, into a desert that's desolate. The word chemdosi is not all that common. We take it for granted because it's been incorporated into the nusach of Birchas Hamazon. Eretz chemda toiva urechava, a land that is delightful. And here is another pasuk. It's not all that common to find the area shall be called this land of chemda, but here is one pasuk where we find that it's called there. It's a chemda. They made libibar shemama. Pasuk yud aleph. Let's do some of them together. Sama lish mama. They have set it into a land of desolation. Avla alai shemema. They have made it into a state of mourning. The wasteland mourns before me. Avla alai shemema. The land mourns before me. They've made my inheritance into a place of mourning, and therefore the land that's now in a state of mourning is giving off mourning. This land that is now desolate is giving forth an expression of mourning. Noshama kol aretz. The entire land is desolate. Ki ein ish sam alev, to the point where no man pays attention. Okay, let's see these two psukim together. Pasuk Yud Aleph, the Metzilas Amid, Roim Rabim. Pasuk says that Kadosh Baruch Hu has many shepherds have shichasu karmi, have destroyed my vineyard. Achshav yifarei shamono v'yoymar roim v'ritzon olem malchei ha-kastim mashchisim es Yisrael. The kings of the kastim have destroyed Klal Yisrael. Boizesu romsu chelkas sodai. They have trampled upon my inheritance. Ritzon olemar hecherivu aritzi. They have destroyed my land. Nosnu es chelko ha-chachmudali. The land that's my delight, samu l'chiyos midbar shimama, they have made into a desert of desolation. Pasuk Yud Aleph, sama, nevuchanetza machrif, esham esarci, sam esarci l'shimama, v'hinei ha'aretz ha'shamema mistabel eslofanai. The land that is desolate is now calling out to me in mourning. The land has human characteristics. It's mourning to Hashem. No shama, ritzon elaymar, Hashem says, even though it's in a state of desolation, this morning I will have no mercy. Why? So the Metzudas explains the last words of the Pasuk is an explanation. Is an explanation, like I translated it with the Pasuk, but ki ein ish som alev, the reason why Hashem says, I will not respond to the call of mourning from the earth is because the people do not deserve it. The people, no person pays attention to the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ritzon Elaymar, im kol zel lo arachem, v'tiyah nesham kol aretz, waki im bo ish asom alef lehischoret me'avoynoi l'shuvilai. No one is willing to do teshuva. Let's see the Mitzudot Rashi, these two psukim, Roim Rabim, Roshei Kayosah, Shalchel, Nebuchadnezzar, the shepherds. This refers to the armies in Like it says before, the shepherds and their flocks will ascend, will descend upon Yerushalayim, and there refers to Nebuchadnezzar and his armies. Bostesu, they have trampled, Lashon Mirames, to overturn. They'll be like warriors that are trampling in this mud out in the street. Misposesses b'damayich, wallowing in your blood. It's a different word. Okay, well, I think that's a different word over there. Is that the same word? Loshon mirames, to wallow. I thought here it means to trample.
Here they call it trample.
Shrimp, so it's not the same word. There means wallowing. It means an expression of a wailing.
Well, in a liquid, you can't say trample, so it's wallowing.
Wallowing. There it's pain. I think it's a different word. There it's there mispossessed with the mach means you've done bris milah. You've done, and therefore you're in pain. Mispossesses, you're wallowing. You are expressing, you're rolling around, moaning and groaning in the tsar of bris milah, mesiras nefesh. Here it's a different word. Boitzesu means to trample, to step upon. Mirames means to step and trample. In the mud in the street. So here you see it means you're walking upon the earth. Chelkas, Rav Michal, what does that mean? Chelkas, the portion. Kan panya balas, what's that?
The country,
when
we talk about
Chelkasi? Yes,
Chelkasi. Panya, which means the countryside.
The countryside, the earth. Okay. Avlo alai lefanai, the earth is mourning before me. Rada, Pasig Yud and Yud Aleph. Pasig Yud begins, Zroim Rabim, Malchei Goyim, many, many Malchei Goyim, Shabo in the Ruchanetzar, the Amelech Kamoi Haroya Litzoyin. A king is compared to a shepherd. V'chein tergibyonesan malchin sagin katlu ami, great kings have killed my people. Karmi Yisrael kemoish amar ki kelem Hashem tzvokas beis Yisrael, the pasuk I told you in Yeshaya. Bosesu romsu, to trample upon. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Soma, Nebuchadnezzar, the afal pi shloi zoch. Even though here he's not being mentioned by name, hare zocha roim rabim v'hu hoya b'roish. He was the leader of the enemies. He has made our countryside into a land of desolation. The land mourns before me. Shame toyar. The word shemama is a kineses Yisrael shehi shemama. It's a description. Kineses Yisrael, which is shemama, which is desolate. His ablo olai al shimim moiseha. They mourn before me due to their desolation. Leimar. Shani hesimosia. They complain that Hashem, you're the one that allowed this to happen. They mourn before me. They blame me. Hashem says to them, "Ki ain ish samalev. Why are you blaming me? Don't blame me. There's no one to blame but yourself. Lama charva. You know why it happened? Ki ain ish nehem sam alev divari vitechuch chosi my rebuke shayisi moichiach alisam aide hanavim loisamu alibam. They did not pay attention v'leshamu alehem. Period. V'yonasam tiragim arei les enosh dim shavei dachlisi aliba. And what I told you yesterday at the very end, and he repeats this a million times in the Vien, no one here has Yiras Shamayim. He'll always inject the word Dach Lisi. Dachal means fear. There is no man among the people that has any sense, semblance of Yiras Shamayim. Next two psukim. Pasek Yudbeis, sort of the section. Al Kol Shifayim Bamidbar, on all of the hills in the midbar, bahu shaydidim, the plunderers will come, referring to the Nebuchadnezzar and all of the other nations. Why? Ki cherev la Hashem oichla, the sword of Hashem will consume miktzei eretz viad kitzei eretz, from one end, from sea to shining sea. Rachman alitzlan, ein shalom luchol basar, there will be no peace for all flesh. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Zaru Chitim V'Koyi. No, this is the curse. The curse is you'll plant Chitim, and what will come out of the ground? V'Koytzim Kotzaru. You're going to harvest thorns. All of your hard work will be for nothing. Nechlu, you'll be sick. We had that word not that long ago, means you'll be intensely sick. A very intense illness. Lo yo'ilu, and there will be no relief. There will be no medicine, and all of the doctors will be unable to heal the wounds. Uvoshu mitavu oseichem, and you'll be ashamed of your produce. You'll be ashamed of the product of the earth, and in a greater sense, in a more symbolic sense, you will be ashamed of what you have contributed to society, to the world. Why? Mecharoin af Hashem. All of this is in response to Hashem's anger. Let's see the two pesukim inside. Pasuk Yibes in the Mitzudos. David, Al Kol Shefayim, Al Kol Amakim Asagvos Shebamidbar Shbo Shedim upon all the hills. The enemy has arrived. Ki Cheref Cheref Melchama Hahuchon LeHashem Achi Tehebal Toichal VeToivad Mitzeh. The sword will consume. Ulechol Baslo Yashem. There will be no peace for all flesh. Ki Nivuchanetzar Yoirer Melchamos in Kol Haakum VeYichpoish Eskulam. There will be world wars. World wars will break out. Pasuk Gimel Zeru Chitim Ritzon Lemar Oid Ashalach VaHakastim Chitzei Rav. I will send against the Kastim famine. Kasher Yizru Chitim Yixru Koitzim Chisatzmiach Koitzim Nachalu Ma'anakas Ravoin Nachalu. They will cry out from the pain of famine. V'loyim Tzu Refu Moyales Uboishu Omar Hanavi Kinegdom Ru'u Roy Hoyulachem Sheyiz Boishu Mitvu Oseichem. You are deserving that you should be ashamed from your crop. Shadover Nigloshem Bim Ora, because this matter has been revealed that it's a curse that has come, Mecharoinaf Hashem Veloy Bimikra, and it's not due to chance. Now, one thing I'm not clear about is that the Mitzuda says, Od Ashalech Behakastim Chitzei Rav. I thought we were talking about Klal Yisrael. It seems that according to the Mitzudos Tavra, the pasuk we were saying is that he's putting a good twist. He's saying that after Nebuchadnezzar does what he does to Klal Yisrael, his day of reckoning will also come. Isn't that what it says in the Mitzudos? It says, Ritzon Eloimar, going back to the beginning of pasuk of Gimel in the Mitzudos, Od Ashalach Behakastim Chitzei Rav. They will also die from starvation in punishment for what they have done. If not for the Mitzvah Tzavah, you would assume that Pasuk Yud Gimel is a continuation of describing what's going to happen to Klal Yisrael, part of the curse. But that's not what he says. All right, let's see the Rashi. Rashi, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Ziru Chitim, the Koitzim Yitzru, Hispalalu, Velo Neskablu Tefilah Sam Lama. They prayed, and their prayer was not accepted. Lefi shaloi neru lohem nir teshuva umay simtovim lochein zoru el koitzim. Therefore, they planted for thorns. If you pray to Hashem and you do not do tshuva, you will be unsuccessful. So, therefore, zoru chitim has a connotation according to the parish of the Mitzudos of prayer. When you seed, you're seeding chitim. That's how he learns. They're praying, and the prayer is not going to be accepted because the prayer is not accompanied with teshuva, and therefore, what comes forth from the ground thorns. And then he concludes, Sefer Shenokud Bo, L'chein Zorah Al-Kaitzim, Samach Peresh Shenokud Bo Zorah B'chiritz HaZayin Sheyovai Hu. I don't know, Shibushu. Shibush, it's a mistake. Say okay, Sefer. If you find the text, Shenokud by Zero Bechirik, if you find the text that said Zero with the Chirik, you should be aware, Rashi says, Shibushu, that text is mistaken. That's not an authentic text. I was recently listening to a shir by my friend about Rashi. And somehow I picked it up by accident and I put it into the CD thing, and I was listening. It was very fascinating. He was giving a tour. Today it's a big business. You go to Europe and you go on tours all over Europe. So he is one of the big guides. So on one of his guides, he took them to, I guess, France. He took them to the hometown of Rashi. And he gave a little bit of Hakdama or Magensia, where Rashi learned. He studied in Germany. Rashi studied in two yeshivas. He learned in in worms and in magensia, in mines. Rashi did not learn in Shapi, in Shpire. Shpire not. Kilois shum. There are three kilois in German. The three big kilois were kilois shum, garlic, shum. Shin is Shapira. Vav is Varmiza. Varmiza. And Mem is Magensia. Those are the Hebrew words. Shapira, Varmiza, and Magensia, which in English, or the way we pronounce, the way it's pronounced is spire, worms, and mines.
Mines, not so.
Mayens.
It was not close from Mayens. Where I come from.
Oh, you come from where?
Huh?
Where do you come from?
I come from Frankfurt.
Frankfurt. Mines.
Mines, I'm right.
Okay, so Rashi learned in two of those cities. He learned in Worms and in Mainz, Magensia. So he, our friend, he went into detail and he described what was the godless of I don't remember. Worms. Is that's where Rabbeinu Gershom had his yeshiva, and they had there what was called the Kuntres. What was the Kuntres? The Kuntres was the most authentic text of the Talmud, of the Masorah. And Rashi spent much of his time authenticating which is the correct Nusach. We take it for granted. And that's why Rashi very often, Hochi Garsina. Rashi's Avoda was, today you see it's not an Avoda today. Today it's people are not in the business of trying to go and figure out which is the correct text, because the text already has been established. You'll go and you'll buy a new Gemara, you'll have on the side there are three different Girsos. But the common Girsa, this is the Girsa. But that's not the way it was in ancient times. In ancient times, before you can begin to analyze and comment and elaborate, you have to first work very hard to authenticate the correct text. Something that we take for granted. And that was an enormous effort. And that's why Rashi here does his thing and he says, Sefer Sheni Shenokud Bo Zero Bechirik Hazayin Shibush, that is a mistake. Hinachlu, Lashon Choli sickness, Nachlu Bimachayvam Bitzakosam, Lufanai Velo Yoilu does not help me to Vosechem, Mimahasechem from your deeds. So he translates Mimahasechem means that your deeds are detestable before Kadosh Baruch Hu, then you'll be embarrassed from your deeds. From Rashi, it would seem that Rashi learns that Pasuk Yud Gimel is a continuation of Pasuk Yud Beis. It's a reference to Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bitterly complaining about Klal Yisrael that they're not doing His will. Let's do the Retura Dax, these two Psukim. Pasuk Yud Beis. Pasuk Yud Beis, Al Kol Shifayim, but all of the hills in the valley. Makay Ma Mira Habehemos Yikra Midbar. A place of pastures, a desert commercial parish, Ushafayim, Hey, Mamakamus, Hagvoy, Mahai places, Kamahadim, Mugvos, Gamlusham, who Minayisha, Bo, even there, Gamlusham, Shu, Minayisha, Bo, Shaydim, there is no place that will escape the enemy. The enemy will even come on the place where people are now living, on the hills. Cherev, Lahashem, Ochla, the sword of Hashem will consume, Kamoy, Oicheles, to consume. Omar Bezev, Zek, Kamoj, Eish, Oichla, we use the expression of consumption like a fire consumes. Al beroy v'yomer al mishkal poeles. V'ahereg ki achilus acheref, some grammatical term. V'ahereg ki achilus acheref means death. Poi v'charbi toich al bosem, my sword will bring death to the flesh. Kizeuch zeh toich al cheref. Next words, miktsei eretz v'yad kitsei aretz. Death will come from end to end. His sword is Hashem's sword. Hashem has aroused him, inspired him to be successful. Even though it's written in the present tense, Radak is explaining, even though these events have not yet happened, the Pasuk writes them in the present tense as if they have already happened, in order to awaken Klal Yisrael to the danger. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Zoru Chidim V'Koytzim Katsu. Amar Hanavim V'Zorim said, Zoyim Amar Hanavim Zoyim Chidim B'Chem Yisrael She'atem Nikrim Nachalasi Kmo Shemulamal V'Nei Hanavim V'Nei Hanavim Zoru B'Chelkam Chidim Heim Divrei Hanavua. So the Radak learns that it's the prophets. This is symbolic. The prophets are planting seeds by giving over their words of Musar, planting seeds, telling people what to do, but yet people are not receptive to the Musar. Dikoitzim kotsu, ki loitzamchu lohem b'chelka, ki im koitzim elu these thorns, hey ma'asim ra'im shemdonim lekoitzim. All of the Musar did not produce results. The Musar, they gave the Musar, they planted chitim, they gave Musar, and what did people do? They produced thorns. They did evil deeds. Nachalu lo yu'ilu, they're sick, and there's no hope. V'nachalu ha'nevim al-zeh, what does that mean according to the Radak? The Nevim gets sick from giving Musar to people who don't listen. Ki lo yu'ilu ma'aseyem, when you talk to the walls, it's very frustrating. Uvoshu mitivu oseichem, and they are embarrassed from their produce. Who is the one that's embarrassed? The prophets, that they have been unsuccessful. They hoped that all of their efforts would produce good results. And they were unsuccessful. They produced thorns. And they became sick. And this was due from the anger of Hashem. Mipachtam, they were afraid. Mecharanaf Hashem ha'asid lavo yalem b'mineh shemasim ha'ro'im. And therefore the Nevim got sick, realizing that they were unsuccessful and foreseeing the horrible punishment that would come to the people. V'omar yirmiyah moshel ze'al ha'chalaka. He said this on a piece of land. Everything over here is being used in terms of a piece of land. I'm planting seeds of wheat, and thorns are growing. And tvua, the deeds, the ma'asim ro'im, and the ma'asim tovim were compared to grain. The tvua, kamo shama yishayel moshel demudo ala kerem. So just like we find in the beginning of Sefer Yeshaya, we have a very elaborate, an entire parak where Yeshaya presents a mashal of a vineyard and all of the different details. She'amar v'yito'eu soireik, Hashem planted you as a choice vine. V'yikaf la'asos anavim, Hashem had great hopes that you would produce choice grapes. V'yas bi'ushim, and instead you produced sour grapes. The Yisrohem Shenikru Kerem Hashem V'chelkas Hashem. So it's a very beautiful observation that the Radak is making, that what it says here by Yirmiyah has a parallel in Yeshaya. In Yeshaya he used the mashal of a vineyard, and there he wanted good grapes, it produced V'ushim, sour grapes. Yirmiyah does the same thing with his mashal of grain. He planted wheat, and it produced koitzim. The Adoni of Yisrael Mevracha Perish Zari Cholchitim, the Humashal HaHamoin HaRav. This refers to the populace, not in reference to the prophets. We're not discussing the prophets like what the Radak said. His father says, referring to Klal Yisrael. Shohayu Sholchim L'malchei Mitzrayim. It means, in a whole new idea, they send gifts. They thought that when the day comes, the day of reckoning comes, they will be protected and assisted by their neighbors, by Mitzrayim. They will come to their rescue. Shayu l'cham le'ezra. V'shayavo le'ezra sa b'mnei melech bavel. U'bitchoynam al mish'enes kona rotzutz. But the truth was, they were relying upon a reed that was smitten, a reed that's been shattered. V'zehu koitzim kotsaru nechlu lo yu'ilu. So a beautiful interpretation of the pasuk, Zaru chitim, that Klal Yisrael, they planted seeds. They sent out lobbyists. They had different organizations. They were lobbying the Senate, the President, that he should come to their assistance. But the koitzim kotsaru, when the day that we needed them came, they behaved like thorns. They did not come to our assistance. And from that we got sick in the stomach with no help. Nachalu, we got sick. Meiroiv momon shenosnu, we got sick thinking about how much money and time and effort we invested in this technique. V'lohoi Elohem shum to'eles. U'perish boshu mitvu osechem, tzivui kolaymar. Hashem here is saying, according to the Radak's father, it's a command. You should be embarrassed. I'm commanding you, take shame. Kolaymar, yesh lachem liyavosh mitzvu oseichem shem koitzim. You should be embarrassed of your actions. The Yonasan tegim loso chon damin lezroin chitin v'goymer kebamud. He says something very similar. Don't be like grain that turns in, that you plant and turns into thorns. So simple, we said based upon those ideas. All right, so we're up to here, a new section. After Yudal begins a new section, Kolaymar Hashem. Stop here.